if you would please, then, and turn back to the Psalms, the book of Psalms, if you would, the 78th Psalm. And I want to try to continue a thought that we started last Sunday morning. I know we've been in the Gospel of Matthew for a good little while, and we'll probably go back there whenever the Lord leads us to do so. But, of course, school starting last week, we were talking about our children and, of course, some of the responsibilities, some of the things concerning our children. And I want to continue that again this morning with the Lord's help as you pray for us today and praying God will touch our hearts and help us. And certainly this morning we need his help. Certainly living, I truly believe, in those times that Paul wrote unto Timothy about, those perilous times. And as you look there at that word perilous, it means dangerous. And I believe we're living in dangerous times. God's still on the throne. Thank God he is. And God's still blessing his people and God's still working. But we have our responsibilities this morning to make sure that we do the things that we need to do to teach our children that they might set their hope in God. And so I want to continue that thought this morning with the Lord's help. Let's see, you got a few anniversaries we want to take care of, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Tim and Sally Fall on today, the 1st. Where's she at? Back there she is. How many years, Miss Sally? 29 years. All right, give them a round of applause. All right, and then Curtis and Sherry on the 3rd. How many years, Curtis? Where you at? Where's he at? Back there he is. How many years? 8 years. All right, congratulations to them. And then Thomas and Sandy will be on the 8th. How many years, Sandy? 29. All right, congratulations. And Paul and May on the 9th. How many years will it be, Paul? 69. Congratulations on the 9th. And then Gary and Phyllis on the 10th, 48. All right. And then J.D. and Mary will be on the 14th. 14? All right. Congratulations. And then Michael and Emily's, we didn't get, they wasn't here. How many years? 10. All right. Congratulations to them. All right. Psalm 78. We're going to continue our thought on preparing the children. Last week, we looked at children being a gift from God. We'll give you two other thoughts that we wanted to address in this particular thought in preparing our children. It's not only that are they a gift from God, but today I want to look at children need guidance. We need to guide them. And so I want us to think about that as we consider the text. The third thought is we need to guard them. And I probably won't get into that today. If not, we may look at it tonight or next week or however the Lord leads. But I want us to consider the guidance that you and I need to give to the children. And as I said last week, you may be here and you may not have children. Your children may be grown or whatever the circumstances might be. But all of us as Christians need to do our part to give the children around us and help them in guiding them. So I want us to consider that this morning from this wonderful Psalm, Psalm 78. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning or invite you to stand. If you're able to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read verses 6, 7, and 8 this morning. We read starting in verse number 1 down through verse number 8 last week, but this morning I'm just going to read three verses. The Bible says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them. Watch this, to their children. Verse 7, our text verse, that they might set their hope in God. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not, now notice that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Again, verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity, to thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin, and thank you for all that you've done in our midst now here this morning, for the Sunday school hour, for the singing, the playing, and Lord, all that's been done. Now, Lord, I realize today that, Lord, we've come to the most important part as far as, Lord, us yielding ourselves to you. And, Lord, that's your word. And, Lord, what we do with your word this morning. So I just pray that, God, this morning, Lord, that you would help us today, Lord, to have our attention, Lord, upon, Lord, your Spirit and your Word today. Father, I pray that, God, that you'd speak to each of us this morning through the preaching of your Word. I pray now as your servant, Lord, I have nothing today apart from you. And, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray you give me the message, Lord, that we stand so in great need of, Lord, this day. And, Lord, I pray for these children. Lord, I pray for the families. And Lord, all that have an impact, Lord, on helping, Lord, prepare these children they might set their hope in God. I pray this morning, most of all, if there be one here today, Lord, it's never I trusted you as Savior. I pray today would be the good day. Lord, they would come and, Father, receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Maybe somebody cold, indifferent. Lord, whatever the need, God, again, you'd work among us. Just help us to be obedient and submissive, Lord, to your word and to your will. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Again this morning, in the thought of preparing the children, again, we want to consider today that children, they need guidance. In other words, not only are they a gift from God, but we need to have a part in guiding them in their life. Again, the 78th Psalm is a psalm of instruction. It's covering Israel's history from Egypt or from Moses to the time of David. In it, we see the failure of the people, but we also see the faithfulness of Almighty God. And God wants the children to know. And so he makes that very definite and very clear in this particular psalm. And so as we begin to think about it and meditate over it, and God begin to deal with our heart, again, each of us today, not only do the children need guidance, but all of us this morning needs guidance from the Lord. I'm glad today, thank God for those that are saved and redeemed by the good grace of God, that God has given us the person of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, and to help us. Why? Because we all need guidance this morning. I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved, or what your situation might be. We all need guidance from the Lord. But especially, could I say unto the children, they need guidance in their life. They need teaching, and they need guidance this morning for their life. The word guidance today in the Webster's 1828 dictionary simply means to lead or direct in a way. Now, I want you to get a hold of that this morning. To lead or direct in a way. To conduct in a course or path. In other words, today, here God has said through the psalmist in Psalm 78 that we might teach our children and then they might teach their children. In other words, that we would continue to teach them not our way, not our path, but the way and the path of Almighty God. And how crucial that is in the day and hour in which we live. Listen, the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto men, but the ways or the ends thereof are the ways of death. And so there's a lot of different ways that people could go this morning. But children need guidance in their life. And they're looking to someone, and that someone is me, that someone is you, that is mom, that is dad, that's grandmas and grandpas and guardians. And could I say the church also needs to have a part in helping guide the children this morning, to teach them and to show them that they might set their hope in God. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning there's a time in my life that I come to the understanding that I needed a Savior. Hallelujah today. Aren't you glad there was a time in your life where God convicted you and drew you out of Calvary and you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to forgive you and save you and redeem you, like the choir sang about this morning. That means I've been bought and paid for, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb today. And thank God this morning, we need to pass that message on to our children, to this generation and the next generation to come, that they might set their hope in God. We need to help guide them in the way and the path that God has for them. I'm afraid today there's a lot of them that's missing the path that God has. Now the world has a path. The devil has a path. I'm afraid this morning there's many. I'm afraid it's going down that path. Children need guidance. We know the familiar proverb in Proverbs 22:6, where the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, we're all probably familiar with that great proverb. Train up a child in the way he should go. Again, it's not my way, it's not your way, but it's God's way that is most important that we train them in and teach them in. And so for a few moments this morning, with the help of the Holy Ghost of God, I want us to consider the thought on guiding or giving guidance to our children. Now, first of all, we think about guidance and we think about teaching, and we talked about that some last week as far as instruction and education and those kind of things. But this morning, my main thought today in guidance is this word, and it's that word train. That word train. Today I think about this word train and the thought that's coming certainly about this thought of train. It means to demonstrate. Now, there's one thing about telling something, and there's another about demonstrating it. And I think our greatest example of demonstration, of course, the great example is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he practiced what he preached. He was an example everywhere that he went. And so today, we want to be that kind of example. We want to demonstrate to this generation and the next. Hey, listen, if we don't begin to demonstrate before them, thank God, the things of God, that they need to set their hope in God, then friend, this world will surely pull them away. But thank God today, folks, we need to demonstrate more. It needs to be more than just a lip service. Thank God, we need to put shoe leather, hallelujah, together, and thank God, demonstrate before this generation and those around us that there's a true and a living God, and he's worthy of our attention. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy, thank God, to know. He's worthy to serve. He's worthy to love. He's worthy to sing about. He's worthy to preach about. He's worthy to live for. Thank God this morning that they might set their hope in God today, my friend. Hey, I'm glad this thing's real. Some of you looking at me a little funny this morning. Hallelujah. I'm glad what I've got's real, thank God. And what you and I have today in Christ is what the world needs. It's what our children need. Now, I said last week, nothing wrong with them getting a good education and all that, and we talked about that last week. But friend, the greatest thing that you and I can do for this generation and the generations to come is to demonstrate before them that we have a Savior that it's worth setting their hope in. And could I say he is? Oh, he is. Why? Because he's the only hope. There is no hope outside the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to get a hold of that. I don't know how far I'll get in this morning, but I want you to know something. There is no hope beyond the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you set your hope in anything else this morning, it will fail you. But thanks be to God, I'm glad I'm serving one this morning that cannot fail, that will not fail, and will be faithful, thank God, hallelujah, until the end, my friend. We need to guide them. And in guiding them, the thought is demonstrating. Again, I want to help you to burn that into your heart and your, what kind of life are you demonstrating? What kind of life am I demonstrating before our children? You say, preacher, it doesn't make any difference. It makes all the difference in the world. Now, You say, preacher, well, I've done the very best that I could, and they still went astray, and they done this, and they done that. Hey, listen this morning. All I know I can tell you this morning is you and I need to do our part in demonstrating before them and teaching them the things of God through our life. And listen, I realize that each individual has to make up their own mind. We can't save them. We can't redeem them. But, friend, we better be sure that we can stand before God knowing that we've done our part in demonstrating before them the things of God. We need to do that. And so, again, this word train has the idea to demonstrate it to them and being the right example to them and before them. I think about 1 Timothy 4:12, where the Bible says, let no man, where Paul was talking to Timothy, and he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Now notice these things, be thou an example of the believers. Of the believers in word, in conversation. That word conversation, you say, well, it just said word. That word conversation means lifestyle. It means lifestyle in word, in conversation, in charity. That word charity we know is love. In spirit, in faith, in purity. Now that's writing to all Christians. And I'm not trying to take certainly this verse of Scripture and take it out of context of what Paul is telling Timothy there. But friend, this is a verse of Scripture that we could apply to this very thought, that we would be an example before all people and especially our children. Amen. They're looking to us for guidance. Now, I know some of you teenagers don't think you need any guidance. You done got it all figured out. Mom and daddy's done kooky. Well, when you get about 24 or 25, you'll find out, man, they were a lot smarter. It's amazing how much smarter they'll get between your teenage years and about your mid-20s. Hey, man, I mean, boy, they're going to become some of the smartest people in the world. Because you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know what? Mom, Dad was exactly right. And listen this morning, if we love our children, and boy, we sure should, because they are that gift that God has given to us to nurture and to teach and to love and to teach them the ways of God. Hey, listen, friend, we have no greater responsibility than these precious children that God's given unto us, that we might raise up another generation that has a heart for Almighty God. Why? Because we're losing that. Unfortunately, we're losing. Why? Is it because God's let up? Is it because God's changed? Oh, no. Then we have to look at ourselves. Amen. And I say ourselves this morning. I'm talking about each and every one of us that are saved this morning, that we are to be an example. Now, again, that word train, by demonstration or example. Let me give you three or four things quicker this morning that we need to be an example before them or demonstrate to them in training up a child. Now, I want you to think about that word child. And the reason I want to emphasize that before I start into these particular points is because if you do not start as a child, once they get a teenager, it's going to be hard to train them. Now, again, we can't save them. We can't redeem them. And God's not expecting us to. He's going to do all that. But we got to make sure we do our part in demonstrating that they might set their hope in God. Number one, in our training by demonstration, number one, we need to demonstrate love. And these things are not anything new. But we need to demonstrate unto them and before them the thing called love. Now again, it's very simple and it's very elementary. But every child desires to be loved. Not only do they desire to be loved, but every child deserves to be loved. Amen. They need somebody to love them. I thought about this as I I was preparing the message for today, and I thought about this saying of love. It's going to be hard to convince them of God's love if you and I are not demonstrating that love before them and to them. It's going to be hard to tell them about a Savior that left heaven's glory, come down to low land of sin and sorrow, lived as a man 33 and a half years. Thank God, laid down His life on a cross, shed His blood. Thank God, so that you and I could be redeemed. Why did God do all that, children? Because that He loved you and I. And He demonstrated that love. Now, God's not asking you and I to give our lives so that we can demonstrate love in the sense that sacrificially as Jesus did. But friend, I want to tell you something. He is asking you and I that we not only love the children, but that we love one another. And He's also even wanting us to love the sinners. Woo-hoo! Preacher, I just can't do that. You don't know what they've done. Hey, listen, I'm glad there's a lot of people that don't know everything that I've done. Now, He does, but God loved me anyway. Hey, the children desire and deserved to be loved. And you and I need to demonstrate that love, or we'll never be able to convince them that there's a God in heaven that loves them too. We need to show them love. We need to demonstrate love. And it's more than just telling them. Now, we need to tell them that we love them. Amen? God's told us time and time again He loved us. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. And children need to know that they are loved. Why? Because, again, they desire it and they deserve it. They need to be told that they're loved. And we need to demonstrate that love. Love needs to be demonstrated in the home. Children need to know that mom and daddy love one another. Not fighting like cats and dogs all the time. I know it's going to tighten up right here. Huh? Amen. They need to see it demonstrated. They need to know that mom and daddy loves one another. Come into the church on Sunday morning, raise their hand, saying, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then go home and it's in a different environment. I don't know why I said all that, but I'm just saying that because God said to say it. They need to see love demonstrated to them. Between mom and dad, and I know there's some situations where one of the parents maybe not there, and that puts a strain on things, and I understand that. But thank God, just love them, just love them, just love them, and let them know God loves them. Demonstrate unto them love. Demonstrate love by telling them. Demonstrate love by touching them. Do you understand there's nothing like the human touch? Now, there are some people touching children today, and I talk about that in the guarding the children. I don't even want to get there right now. It almost gets me over into the flesh. But children desire to be touched. They desire to be hugged. And they ought to be. Amen. Amen. Them precious. Them babies is precious. They're that gift that we talked about that God given to us. And so we need to demonstrate love by telling them. We need to demonstrate it by touching them. And we need to demonstrate love by spending time with them. If you want your children, your grandchildren, or any of the children around you to know that you care for them and you love them, you spend some time with them. Huh? Now, we live in a materialistic world. And everybody thinks if I buy them this and give them this and give them that and buy them this and buy them that and buy them the cell phones and the iPads and the computer games and I'm not saying that you're not supposed to give them some things. I'm not saying that, but don't let that replace time that you can spend with them. We have a generation where video games and cell phones and the things of technology are raising our children. Whew. Preacher, you could have went all day long and not said that. I'm just trying to help us that they might set their hope in God. Amen. What's that got to do with it, preacher? Because children need guidance. Amen. They need guidance. Number one, in demonstrating or training here and demonstrating before them, number one is love. Number two is not only to love them, but to lead them by example. And we've already said some things about that. To lead them by example. How many times have we heard the phrase, don't do as I say, but or don't do as I do, but do as I say? Maybe some of us have used that terminology. Don't do as I do, just do what I say. Well, I'm just going to be right real honest with you this morning. That ain't going to work. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that ain't going to work. Why? Because children will become what they see. Demonstrated before them. In many cases, they will become what is demonstrated before them. That's the reason the little boys always want to go where daddy's going and doing what daddy's doing. Little girls want to go where mama's going, unless it's working, washing dishes and all that, and they probably don't like that much. But they want to be like mama. But we have such a messed up world today that some people are telling their children they don't know what gender they are. Hey, it's time that the women, that the ladies teach the young girls to be ladies and the men teach young boys to be gentlemen and men like the Bible calls us to do. We got to live by example. Lead by example. We need to love them, but we need to lead them and to lead them by example. Again, don't do as I do, but what I say. We got to make sure that we live the example before them. As I said, Jesus is the greatest example that we have before us in all the scriptures. We need to lead them in the good way to live. Hey, life's still good. We need to lead them in the way, the good way. We need to lead them in the godly way. What's wrong with living for God anyway? Huh? Could I ask you a question? What's wrong with living for God? We seem to have a society that seems to think there's something wrong with it. Hmm? Oh, yes. There's something wrong with those people that live for God. There's something wrong with those people that want to go to church all the time. There's something wrong with those people that like to get in the choir and sing and raise their little old hand and say, there's something wrong with them. No, there's something right with them. Huh? There's something right about all that. Why? Because we want to lead them in lead by example, not only to love them, but to lead by example in the good way, in the godly way. Show them how to live life and enjoy life and be a servant that God has called us to be. Amen. If you won't be faithful to church, what one generation will do in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. If you're a moderate Christian today, I just don't know if there really is such a thing or not, but I will use that terminology because you can understand that terminology. Just a moderate Christian. Just part-time in this thing, kind of. If it's convenient. Well, I'm telling you what one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. If you teach them it's not important, it won't be. I'm trying to help you. Preacher, why would you preach like this? Because I love you and I love your children and I'm concerned about this next generation. Hallelujah this morning. If we don't lead by example, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. Awful quiet in here today. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help us. Why? Because the eternal destination of your children, of your grandchildren, depends a whole lot on what you and I do with the Savior. How we treat Him. And so I can't be much. I don't claim to be much. But I can try to be the right example. I want to be the right example before these children in this church. I want them to see the same preacher outside these four walls that they see inside the four walls. Amen. I don't want to be something different out there and something different. Hey! Bible's got words for things like that. We just want to be an example. Train up a child in the way he should go. Love that child. Love those children. And number two, lead by example, because they are going to follow your example. They're going to follow somebody's example. Oh, my. Jeremiah chapter number 6, verse number 16, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But notice what the people said. But they said, "We will not walk therein." And this world around us is dooming the generation behind us. Oh, but preacher, God's a God of love. And He is. He done demonstrated it. Doesn't do enough. He don't need to do not one more thing to demonstrate that love. It's up to you and I what we do with it. What do we need to demonstrate before them? Number one, we need to love them. Number two, we need to lead by example. Number three, we need to limit them. Whew. Lord, it's kind of tough up here this morning. Could you help me? There is a word in the English language that children just don't like to hear. And we don't like to hear it either. It's the word no. Huh? It's the word no. You know, sometimes God tells us no. Lord, I don't like it. Lord, you said if I'd pray, you'd give it to me. Lord, you said if I'd pray, you'd do it. Well, He knows what's better for us than we do. Sometimes God says no to us. Now, when it comes to salvation, I'm glad, thank God, He doesn't say no. He just says, come on. But there are other things in our life that He says no to. Children don't like the word no. I know, I've raised two boys, I know. I don't like that word no. But children, in guiding them, they need limits. Just like we do. We talked about last week, as far as children having potential and God having a plan and a purpose for their life. But there was a path that God wants to keep them on. And you and I as well. But there has to be limits. I'm afraid today too many children are being enabled. Oh, my. Boy, tightened up right there. We are enabling our children if we give them everything they ask for, even though we know that it may not be the best thing for them, and give it to them anyway. We are enabling them. And let me be honest with you. We have a generation, my generation coming behind me, and the other generations, they think everybody owes them something now. Hey, nobody don't owe us nothing. God don't even owe us salvation. That's a free gift. This Bible teaches us if you want something, you got to earn it. Except salvation. Now, that's free. Don't you go out here saying the preacher said, I got to earn my salvation. No, thank God, that's free. But if we're not careful, we're going to enable the next generation. That they're going to set their hope in everything else and not set their hope in God. And what I mean by limits this morning, I know I've got to get done here. When I say limiting, I'm talking about discipline. I'm talking about rules. I'm talking about boundaries. Why, the worst thing you could do for your teenagers is not give them some rules and some boundaries. God did not call you to be their friend. God appointed you as a parent. Aren't we having fun this morning? Why? Because God sets boundaries for us. And if we go outside those boundaries, hey, don't even think about the blessings of God. Preacher, couldn't you just preach on Jesus? Well, I'm trying to. Hey, man, preacher, that ain't your job. That ain't your job. Well, it's in the book. It's my job. Preach a whole counsel of God. Why? Because I have been put here as a pastor to care for your souls. To look out for your souls. To look out for your family. Children, they demonstrated before them love. But they demonstrated before them to lead by example. They demonstrated before them limitations. Why? Because Proverbs, let me give you a few verses of Scripture. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's the reason they need guidance. Amen. Oh, I can't believe bringing on me. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him. Betimes. That word betime means early. Before it's too late. Don't wait till they get teenagers to give them boundaries and limits. You're going to have a tough time. I'm just trying to help you. And I'm saying to us as a church this morning, let's keep church, church. Hey, there's enough of the world junk out there. This needs to be church. Amen. Hey, man. Well, preacher, we'll never win people like that. Gospel still works. Amen. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's not my words. That's God's word. Well, preacher, we ought not to abuse our children. You better not. But the word chasteneth has the idea and the thought of instruction. Discipline, boundaries, and limits are given for instruction. trying to keep them out of trouble, trying to keep them out of hell, trying to keep them off of dope. Yeah, I said it. Try to keep them off of liquor. Amen. You better guard them babies. I'll talk more about that maybe tonight. But you better set some limits. And when they cross the boundary, there's discipline. But it's done in the right way. I found it interesting as I studied. I promise I'm trying to get done. The rod of correction. I found this and I found it interesting. Of course, was used by shepherds in the days of the Bible and probably still used there even today. But it was used by shepherds in the field. When a sheep would stray from the path of a good shepherd, he would take that rod and use that rod to steer the sheep away from danger. But I don't like no. Get used to it. It's still in the English language. To steer them from danger. They would not use it to beat the sheep into submission. They would use it to keep them from danger. I found it interesting. There was a couple of other things that they would use that rod of correction for. Not only to protect, or to protect and to correct, also to inspect, but they also would use it to guide. In other words, that sheep's getting off the path. Got to take him, get him back on the path. Why? Because children need guidance, just as we all do. So we need to demonstrate before them this morning in guiding them and training up a child in the way he should go. Number one, by loving them. Number two, by leading them. Number three, by setting limits for them. I told Miss Drew if our little Hannah had to live, bless her heart, she'd have had it tough. You better guard those girls with everything within you. You better guard those boys with everything in you. We need to limit. Lastly, we need to life with them. See, that's not too bad, is it? Train them up. Demonstrate love before them. Lead by example. Well, that's the least we could do. Put limits on them. Why? Because God puts limits on us. But lastly, we need to life with them. They need to have a good time. You better life anytime you can, where you can, and when you can. There'll be enough mud holes and briar patches. Oh, yeah, they will. Better life when you can life. Hey, let me ask you, I was thinking about this when I was studying. I'm about done, I promise. But have you ever heard anything any sweeter than a child laughing? I just don't think there's anything any sweeter, Miss Jo, than hearing a little child laugh. Sometimes they put them on Facebook and all that, and, you know, children just laugh and laugh. And they get to laughing, everybody around them gets laughing. And you watching it, you begin to laugh. Better life when you can. Better life with them when you can. Oh, yes, there's got to be discipline. Got to be boundaries. But there's also plenty of times to laugh and enjoy them like we talked about last week. Let me give you this and I'm done. Somebody say, thank the Lord for that. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Your world can be turned upside down. You may have had a hard day at work. They may have had a hard day at school. Hey, and there's going to be days they come home, they've had a tough day at school. They've been bullied. They've been talked about. Hey, it's the real world. They need to be able to come home and laugh a little. Why? Because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And then the book of Ephesians, chapter, and I'm going to give you this verse of Scripture. Brother, go ahead and be getting a song together. Or you want me to get somebody else to get one. Adam, go ahead. Or you got it? Proverbs, or Ephesians 6:4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture means to discipline. The word admonition means instruction. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear, the nurture, and the admonition of the Lord. Why? Because they need to know that they can set their hope in God. The world's not going to teach that to them. There used to be a day that America had a fear and a reverence for God. I'm sad to report to you. And listen, there's still a lot of God-fearing folk. Don't misunderstand me, and thank God for that. But I'm talking about as a whole. We're seeing that dissipate and dissipate quickly. So it's up to you and to me and to the church to help them that they might set their hope in God. God give those children to us to guide them. Now, they'll have to make their own decisions. I understand that. And some still make bad decisions. But at least you know that you've done your part in trying to guide them. They're a gift. They need to be guided. Thirdly, they need to be guarded. And I'll probably talk about that tonight. If you got children, I want you to come back tonight. We'll talk about guarding them children. God give those children to you for you to guard them. And you better guard them. But this morning, how do you stand with Christ? As God spoke to you through the message this morning, and there's things that you'd like to pray about and God helping you to help guide your children, to help guide your grandchildren, to help guide the children of this church and of your community. Let's stand at our feet all over the building. What song you got picked out for us? 375. Father, I pray you'll take the message this morning. Help me. Help me, help me, help me to grasp the truths that you have tried to demonstrate before us this morning through your word. Help this church to grab those truths. And I pray for these mamas and these daddies and these grandparents, guardians, whatever it might be, that, Lord, that you would help us to demonstrate before them, to guide them, that they might set their hope in God. Lord, you take the invitation. Lord, you speak to hearts. If there's somebody lost, Lord, I pray that they come. Lord, maybe there's parents. Maybe there's children. Lord, I love these children. I thank you for every one of them.